is the John Richardson Show
with John Richardson.
Welcome along to Literal Slaphead, the John Richardson Show podcast.
I feel mean, John, because you're introducing the podcast with that, with no context, and people would be like, wow, she is really bullying him today.
Yeah, and you picked the name as well, didn't you?
I did, yeah, but with reason.
With reason. You will find out the reason in this week's show. Thank you for downloading. If it sparks off anything in your imagination, you want to join in, john@absoluteradio.co.uk. Here's Literal Slaphead.
Bringing some showbiz sparkle to an otherwise ordinary Saturday.
The John Richardson Show.
You're listening to John Richardson on Absolute Radio with Angela Barnes.
Hello.
I said both of our names with all the letters and words in.
You got them both right. It's only taken how many months have we been doing this show?
Really focusing on my enunciation this week, because I had a slight panic that something more serious was happening. I don't think it is. I think I've just got a lazy mouth.
I think it was the morning Merlot that did you last week.
Yeah. You need sparkling wine in the morning activate the mouth. I think that's how it goes. So we start with a little nod back to last week for those of you whose sick notes arrived in time and whose mothers allowed you to miss last week's show. It's not the cleanest show on the radio, but is the tidiest. So here's the loose ends from last week. If you didn't hear the show, it sounded like this.
I'm dealing with the human mouth here.
Every week you play that and I don't remember it.
I don't remember that, but I assume it's some reference to my inability to speak.
Ah, yes, that'll be it.
I did a podcast yesterday with Mr. Matt Ford. It's not an advertisement. It's just a fact.
Just what you did.
Just saying what I did in my life. I don't do anything unless it's for broadcast. All right? And I couldn't speak again. Think... But I think I speak too much, and I know the listeners will agree. Yeah. But I think it's just too much sometimes, isn't it? 20 minutes a week.
When you've got a day off, when you're not recording a podcast or this radio show, it'd be nice just to have full days where you just don't speak.
Oh, I love it. I love silence. Yeah, it freaks my daughter out, but we're learning to communicate via sign language. Now, last week, you were able to, this is a wonderful feeling when you've studied something and it comes up and you're able to use it in your real life. You put your English degree to good use.
I think you'll find it's linguistics I studied, not English.
And was it a BTEC you did in pedantry or?
No, that was a master's.
You explained, nevertheless, why B's and P's can sound familiar, a slight moment of forgetting the term. You did, in fairness, you remembered it immediately after.
Yeah, bilabial plosive.
What you do with a radio show, you find your audience. Mm. And we have now acquired an audience for whom that is not good enough. So we have people who are very willing to point out your mistakes.
Hi, John. I think the words Angela was looking for last week were a bilabial plosive. This is off the top of my head. I didn't check the internet. English Language and Linguistics graduates, Essex, 1999 to 2002. If you're wondering... You're not. Thanks, Mary.
I did get it, though, Mary. I did, didn't I, John? Tell
you
Mary.
You did. Do you know, I went to fade you up because you screamed it so loud, but we were playing an advert at the time, and I think I'm probably allowed to let you talk over a song to shout bilabial plosive, but I think if you shout it over one of our sponsors, I'll probably get in trouble.
Probably, yeah, yeah. Had it just been Blur or something, you might let me have a go, but yeah.
Yeah. He takes a walk through the park through what is known as bilabial plosive! There's no way Mary doesn't work in broadcast.
She's got a beautiful voice.
I was very disappointed not to find out what the traffic was like on the A50 at the end of that voice note, I'll tell you that.
What's really upsetting, John, is that somebody might have tuned in as Mary was talking and went, oh, that's lovely. But then they're stuck with these two voices now.
Why'd she let these two oikes on? Anyway, I assume things are fine on the Almondsbury interchange. last week's smugness, I attempted very, very weakly, to be honest, to bring down James, a happy Leeds United fan, who revealed he was a professional stone dresser. We were both slightly confused as to what that was. Who better to explain than James, who's been back in touch?
Oh, brilliant.
Now then, John, it's James, the Yorkshire stone dresser, and I hear you didn't know what a stone dresser was. And I'll tell you something, pal. It's not putting frocks on them. It's where we dress it with a hammer and chisel to make stone, walling stone in specific, reusable for building purposes. And it's a trade quite rarely seen now. and a tradition and a craft. And that's what I showcase on my social media and my business that I provide across Yorkshire. Loving the show. Have a good day. Come on, you Leeds.
Speaking of lovely voices.
Yeah.
I could listen to that one all day. Well, that's the most Yorkshireman I've ever heard.
Yeah, there's a little hint of aggression there, though, isn't there? And it explains why every now and again, I'll go to a Leeds game and I hear two people who are just having a chat and I will soil myself because I think I'm in trouble.
He has got he's got the air of big boy about him. Like one of the big boys that you would have been scared of when you were little.
It's phrases like, now let me tell you, pal.
Yeah.
Even when you're saying something nice, let me tell you, pal, I'm going to get you a pint. What are you having? By then, I'm already in tears. What have I done?
I'm sorry.
I've got a ticket. I promise I'm supposed to be here. If anything happens today that you want to get in touch with us about, you can do so. It's john@absoluteradio.co.uk. So, Angela, haven't seen you since... We're seeing a lot of each other at the moment, aren't we?
Yeah, some would say too much.
Some would say too much. Tuesday, we met at a gig, and that was a good one because that was an environment where we didn't do much socialising. I said nice things about you, and then we sort of crossed over with a brief hug, and you were on your own.
And then there were other people to talk to, so it was fine.
Yeah,
really.
You did. And thank you for tolerating my incompetence.
Well, I wouldn't call it incompetence, John. That's your word. But
well, you've studied linguistics. What would you call it, Angela?
I'm just too nice to call it incompetence.
Yes. Well, Will was at the gig. Will, what would you call it from an audience's perspective?
I don't think it's safe for radio, is it?
Oh, right, yeah, fair enough. You hosted the gig beautifully, John.
Thank you.
And, mistakes were made, but you rectified them.
It was a good moment of realising how integral you are to these proceedings because there was a lineup for that gig. That lineup had been set and printed out.
Yeah.
That lineup was changed. Two of the acts needed to swap. Mm-hmm. The person running the charity was informed of that. Our agents were informed of that.
Yeah.
The theatre were informed of that. Mm. The host and compere was not informed of that.
And so, that's a pretty significant key player to miss out of that information chain.
The person who is mid-sentence saying, please welcome to the stage, is best to know which name they're about to say.
So you introduced the wrong person to the stage? Is that what happened, John?
Well, you say wrong. according to the instructions I was given. And can I just congratulate Limahl Germain on delivering a fantastic set from a starting position, I would say 10 yards behind the start line. Everyone else had their feet in the blocks. They'd had their little gel. They'd done their stretches.
He was doing his hair.
He was, backstage getting his number safety pinned to his vest. He sprinted to that stage. I knew the minute he walked on and I thought, well, that was an odd handshake. He looked like he'd just woken up from a nap. And he absolutely smashed it. That meant I then had to put another act on in his place because that act had to get back to Brighton. Yeah. And then I realised that the act I'd moved to...
Also had to get back to Brighton, John.
And that was you, wasn't it?
That's all right. I can understand Joe Wilkinson pulling rank on me, John. That's fine. Go on, let's name and shame.
That's exactly what it was. It's exactly what it was.
Precisely what happened. It was both Joe Wilkinson and I had to get back to Brighton.
Yeah.
So, who do you need to upset? You have to work with Joe a lot.
Yeah.
Actually, you work with me a lot. What am I talking about?
Well, do you know what it was? That was my sort of football manager moment where it's the 89th minute. You've got to make a change.
Yeah.
You look at the two players and you make an instant judgment on who you think has got the best energy reserves.
Right.
And I looked at you. You'd already done another gig. You were buzzing. You were match fit. I looked at Joe Wilkinson and I thought, I might lose him. If I don't get him on now... He's not going to manage extra time. He was tired when he arrived, Joe Wilkinson.
I think he started crying a bit.
a little bit.
So what are you going to do?
You never know what it's about. He's one of those people. It's best not to ask how he's doing because he will tell you.
Yeah, you don't want to know.
But you absolutely smashed the gig again. I'm sure Will will verify that. So,
thanks. Checks in the post, guys. Thank
you. Ultimate unfinished business. If you haven't been to see Angela on tour yet, what are you doing? Because that was a totally different set to the last charity gig I saw you at. On tour this week?
I am. I was in Colchester last night. And then, I'm not now. I've got a little bit of a gap and then my next shows are all up in the Lakes. So I'm going to Nottingham Arts Centre, and then I've got three shows up, like Whitehaven, Milham, Carlisle, but I'm staying in a little place in the Lakes while I'm up that way, so that'll be nice.
Oh, if you want to see Angela when she's charged and happy, get to the Whitehaven Rosehill Theatre.
Beautiful theatre, that, isn't it?
Beautiful theatre.
I love that theatre.
Lovely bunch of gigs. My car has gone in for its service.
Oh.
Very tense for me, that.
What are you driving, John?
What am I driving? What brand of car?
Your brand? What brand?
Is it a brand?
You're not a car man, are you,
make
John?
Make
a model.
Colour. It's a black car. Let's be honest. Mm. I spend probably as much time in the car as in my house.
Yes.
It's a bit like some people clean up before the cleaners arrive.
Yeah.
I have to have a little whip round the car before it goes in for its service.
Yeah.
I've left my secret penny jar.
Your what?
There was I've got a little sweetie jar.
Yeah.
In the central control panel.
Yeah.
Which is, it's a little silver love hearts tin, but it's actually full of pennies for parking.
Right, yeah.
And there was a time when I was worried because I thought they were going to steal my pennies. And now I'm worried it just makes me look like a pathetic generational throwback because I don't think anyone pays for parking with coins anymore.
No, I mean, I've got about 7 apps on my phone purely for parking. I do wish they could just decide on one app between them because that's annoying.
Yeah.
But I do think that's going to age you. They're going to think you're some sweet little old man. What else have you got in there? So one of those tins of travel sweets covered in white powder. Have you got one of them? Some driving gloves.
I do have gloves in the car.
Of course you do.
Well, I do have gloves in the car.
Of course you do. Golf clubs in the boot. Oh, John.
Well, I'll tell you what's in the boot is my emergency whiskey bottle. But if I get stranded on an overnight stay, sometimes you're doing a gig, you don't mean to stay over, something happens, you've got to find a B&B, whatever. Yeah. There's a little cheeky bottle of something in there to get me off to sleep. There's a sleeping bag in case I get stranded. There's two waterproofs.
Right.
There's a first aid kit.
Yeah, good.
There's a football, a frisbee and a spade.
Lovely. Right, okay, I've got questions.
Yeah.
Firstly, have you got a high vis?
Yes.
Yeah,
I've got
good.
Two.
That's good. I've got two high vises in my boot.
Yeah.
Have you got a triangle?
Got a triangle, yeah.
Got a triangle. Good. Okay. I've got questions about the spade.
Yeah.
Is that, what's that for? You're a vegan. It can't be for roadkill. What's it for?
The spade is for the beach. It's a little pink spade with Finding Nemo on it.
Right, okay. That's different.
But I did remember to take that out. So that's in the garage.
Okay.
What I've left in is my escape hammer, which is in the driver's side door panel.
Whoa. Your escape hammer.
Do you not have an escape hammer?
So, in the car?
Yeah. My mum bought me one about 10 years ago when I was gigging a lot, when I was on the circuit. And I accidentally told her a story about coming back from a gig and feeling tired. Mm. And she immediately had a panic that I was going to have an accident driving to a river.
Right,
so she bought me an escape hammer, which is a little plastic hammer.
Like a little toffee hammer.
It's exactly the size of a toffee hammer. It's exactly the size it is. But it's got a little point for smashing the window. Right. And it's got a little blade inside it for cutting the seatbelt.
Okay.
And once you've been given one, you can't not have it in the car.
Yeah, where else are you going to put it?
But having it in the car does look slightly sort of maniacal. And someone else bought me one, so I've got one now on both sides. I've got passenger and driver side escape hammers.
You've got two escape hammers. I've never even heard of it. I mean, I drive a lot. Maybe I need an escape hammer.
You
now
can
you've
have
got
one
me
of mine, Angela.
Thanks, mate, I think.
You can have one of mine. But I would love to know how I've been profiled by the people servicing my car when they find a little hammer and a jar of pennies.
That's one of those things that you'd give me that, I'd put it in my rucksack, forget about it, and then I'd accidentally take it through an international airport. And have to explain that away. I did that once. This is a true story about my ex-boyfriend was American, right? And he used to go skiing. He's from Colorado. And we were going to visit my mum in Ireland and it was cold. So he said, I've got a box of like woolly skiing clothes there. Take a hat or something out of there. So I just pulled out this woolly hat and we went to Belfast and they looked at my bag at security and it had a black balaclava in it. It wasn't a woolly hat. It was a, am I taking it through Belfast Airport?
Oh, I tell you what, I've got something very excited to talk to you about later. We're going to be talking
what
about...
What a teaser that is.
We're talking... Well, I saw something you posted on social media about notes in your phone.
Oh,
I'd
yes.
like to talk to you about it. So okay, I went through fine. My notes and... Oh. There, I think yours are sort of, oh, that's random. Why did I put that? Mine is, wow, what a place for your brain to go at 10 to 1 in the morning.
I can't wait for this. So,
some of them are about the concept of love. So there are people who love each other and I make them be mean to each other.
Which is my favourite part of the show, John, because yeah. those like love song shows and things like that, I always think, who are you trying to prove this to?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Let's have some reality in our dedication.
Let's have some reality. This week, it comes from Martin.
Hi, John and Angela. Thanks for giving me this week's one and only dedication. For context, my wife and I, my wife Jack, that is, were married in 1980, age 19 and 20. And
wow.
against all the odds, we're still together,
Aww.
Mostly happy, and just celebrating a 45th wedding anniversary. So, a dedication to my wife, Jack. I love you, Jack, but to be honest, I'm not sure I can handle another 45.
Whoa! I don't know if that's what we meant.
Oh, I like that. Short and to the point.
Yeah. I felt like he was saying, I love you, Jack, but I reckon we're done.
We've had a lovely run of like, I love you, but there's a little tray under the toaster and it's not just my job to empty the crumbs out of it. That was, I love you, but we're so nearly done, aren't we? You picked up on it from we've been married 45 years. Mostly happy.
Been mostly happy and against the odds, you know.
But by the way, who isn't mostly happy is as good as it gets.
Like that
this
is
idea
more
that you
than
can be
50%.
Happy all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to Martin and Jack and everybody else who has had more than 50% happiness, but also is happy to know when is the time to call it a day,
yeah.
then we dedicate this song to you. And if you want to give someone a shout out on the show, you can. But as Martin has proved so elegantly there, you must caveat it with something. And it doesn't need to be as harsh as that. It
no.
can be a little bit milder. We've had, oh, you bump into me a bit when you're walking down the street with me. And that was fine as well. But equally, it's fine to say, I love you, but not anymore. Get in touch, john@absoluteradio.co.uk.
Get John Richardson on.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show. John, son of Richard.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
Good morning, it's John Richardson here with Angela Barnes
Hello.
On Absolute Radio. It's time for the smugness. This, I believe, is the smuggest hour of the week.
Yeah.
If you're flicking around now, it's we always mention the park run, but it's birthday shout-outs and it's baby showers and it's, oh, ain't everything great?
It's
well,
people
no.
who have got up on a Saturday knowing they didn't have to.
Yeah, and you've got the clash. I think what it also is, it's the most divisive time of the week because you've got all that lot. You've got the people who, yeah, God, I wish I could sleep past
oh,
8 now.
Oh, they can go away. Honestly, the, oh yeah, I just get up at 6. I find I just need to be productive in the
yeah.
morning.
Yeah.
Do you?
And they are colliding with those of you listening now who we support, who are not dressed and have yeah. no intention of getting dressed.
You're our people.
They're not going to cook. The oven is not going on. If it's not in the fridge, it's not getting eaten.
That's it's the people it. Who, this time of the morning, John, have already planned what they're delivering later.
Yeah, do you know, yes, people. Exactly. And do you know who I'm going to dedicate this show to?
Go
the
on.
People who got their food delivered last night and saved a little bit for the morning.
Oh,
they could
it
have
for
finished
breakfast.
It. There's a little chicken ball downstairs
oh,
with their name
oh,
on it.
Oh, that's just got them out of bed, John. You've just reminded them. They're like, there is a chicken ball downstairs.
So I always start with you. You're like my warm-up. You're
yeah.
Like, first off, I'm just slightly mean to you, and then I really get stuck into the listeners. So
yeah, great.
It's
that's
hard
fine.
For me in any week where you have gigged for me for no money for charity at a time when I know you're travelling the country anyway. But you know what? I think I can do it.
I think you can do it, John. I've got no doubt at all.
Yeah, I've well, done I you think... for what? Reading books, going cycling?
I think you know what mine is this week because mm-hmm. It's another weightlifting one.
Oh, here we go.
Because I got a new PB this week, but I got one without without even knowing I'd got one. I don't know if you saw my Instagram reel, John.
I did, yes,
but
you were lied to.
I lifted 90 kilograms, and my trainer, I thought my trainer had taken some weights off the stack. So I lifted it, thinking, oh, I must be really tired. This is quite heavy. And I did a full set of five, and then she told me it was 90 kilograms.
Yeah, I don't know how you feel about being lied to. You've taken it very well.
It depends on the context. When it's something I can be smug about, I don't mind.
I think that's a trainer who's looked at you and thought, if I don't want to use the phrase feeble-minded, but,
but
she's
have.
Looked at you and thought, if I tell her that's 90, she's going to break down and not be able to do it. So I'm going to have to trick her. And you've just got to ask yourself, how many, if she's willing to lie to you about that, how many other lies is she telling you?
Right.
That week she couldn't make your lesson because, you know, she had a friend who was going to hospital and she had to drive him. Did she? Did she have a client she likes better and she just swapped them into your slot?
Oh, now you're making me think.
Yeah. Other lies? What is 90 kilos? Do you know there was 90 kilos on there? Or do you take her word for it?
Maybe it was only 40.
I think you've only ever lifted 40. I think five of those dumbbells
are inflatable.
We know
that's not true because I've lifted you, John.
I'm only 38.
How dare you? I know there's not much of you, but you're more than 40 kilos, mate.
I think it's the beginning of an end. I think we need to get Norris McWhirter or whoever's involved in sort of measuring these things.
I think you're a bit late for Norris McWhirter, mate.
Somebody must have stepped into that fold who can get down into that powerlifting shed, have those weights measured.
Right.
Because I don't think you've achieved half the things you think you have.
Oh, you're doubting the weights.
I doubt the weights. I doubt the person putting them on. And to be honest, I doubt you, because I think you should be angrier about the deception.
John, I just need to go and have a little think. Are you all right covering the rest of this link?
I'm thriving, mate. I'm happier than I've ever been. I really enjoyed that. Coming up, I will be equally dismissive about our listeners' achievements.
Angela Boy! We've
had a lot of smugness this week.
Have we?
Apparently, according to Will, the one I may be most interested in has come from Colin.
Right.
Hey, John. I'm very smug this week because I've been using hair growth shampoo and it's actually working. After 3 months,
Colin.
I've got hair coming back and my hair has thickened as well. I've attached a link for you in the initial message I sent in. Maybe worth taking a look. Cheers, Colin from Crawley.
Oh, do you know what? I would have said, oh, that's a bit cruel, Colin. That's a bit on the nose. But after what you just did to me, John, go Colin, I'd say. Absolutely go Colin. You tell
Colin
him.
Colin from Creepy Crawley. Have we got a picture?
Right, we're looking at, is that a before or after? That's after. Oh, sorry, Colin.
Is he putting it on his chin? He's got a cracking beard.
He has.
I'd need a before shot.
I think what he's done there, he's got what he's got and put it in a quiff. I don't know if that's...
Yeah, he looks a nice fella, Colin.
He does. I mean, your hair looks great, Colin, don't get me wrong. But have we not got a before? Well, then we don't know, do we?
Well, you don't.
If you look like Duncan Goodhue before, then nice one, Colin.
You were happy to be lied to 5 minutes ago, Angela. What's changed? You can lie to her about the weight on a dumbbell, but not the hair on your head. Absolutely no consistency whatsoever.
That's life, John, isn't it? We're inconsistent.
That's what all the people say. I'd need to see. I'm not going to take you down, Colin, just yet. I'm going to ask for detailed before and after photos.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, my journey has not... I went for a haircut this week and I say to him every week, I say to him, is it time yet?
Every week? You have a haircut every week?
Well... No, not every week. I just like to be around hair.
I was going to say, I think I know why you're bald.
Yeah, I go around ferreting it off the floor. Can I have that? Are you finished with that? That big bit there. You're not using all that. Showing off. I say to him, is it time? And he said, no, you're fine. He showed me the back this week. And I don't know if it was a sunny day and the sun was coming in, but it looked like sheet metal. It was so grey.
John, it's in your head. Your hair's not... I'm looking at you right now. Your hair's not grey.
I know, but I look like R2-D2. I thought you were showing me something. It's like an android. And I was... Because I like how he cuts my hair. So he showed me the back and I should have gone, oh, yeah, that's lovely. And I went, whoa! This is completely silver.
That's silver fox, John. The ladies love it.
He's not going to tell me. He's actually realised this week on the subject of being lied to by people you deal with regularly. Mm. I'm saying to him, is it time for me to shave my head off? I'm basically saying to him, should I stop coming here and paying you money to cut my hair?
Yeah.
Obviously, he's going to say, nah, you're all right, mate. They're all laughing at me the minute I leave. They're all going, why is he still coming in?
Oh, John, you've got a lovely head of hair. We've got to stop this. Okay. It's a lovely colour. It's not grey. It's nice and thick in places.
I'll play the sound of my lovely head of hair. Hear that? That's not the sound of a hand hitting a lovely head of hair.
Oh. You hit that really hard.
I think it might stimulate growth.
Oh, John, maybe
like,
it will.
Like rebooting a laptop. I can't afford the shampoo. If I just keep slapping it, surely
just
that'll
shock
sort
it into action.
Oh, dear. Right, decision pending on Colin. I want more pictures. But I tell you what, Colin, hair or not, you look like a lovely gentleman. You've got a lovely smile there. So don't get bogged down in whether you've got hair or not. From a man who is going on a similar journey, it's personality that matters,
you
right?
Know, ladies that's what everyone find says. It sexy. Yeah. They do, genuinely.
Yeah. Yeah,
some ladies, not me, obviously. But
yeah, I'm
my
trying to think.
Got a full head of hair. Some
to
do.
Think of... Oh well, that's ended with me being brought down, which has backfired somewhat. So perhaps the last Saturday smugness. If you want to get in before it ends completely, john@absoluteradio.co.uk. So Angela, I was very taken the other week with something you posted on. You do the social media, don't you?
To I do engage it a with bit. The young. You know, I try.
Yeah. And you very bravely posted things that you'd found in the Notes app on your phone.
Yeah, well, you're like me, you know, John, do you just take notes of everything you see? Because we're comedians, you have to remember things. But sometimes I look back at the notes, or Siri's dictated them in the car. I think that's what happens quite a lot.
Yes.
And I look back and I go, I have no idea what that's referring to.
Yeah, well, I liked yours because what it made me think is I must have that. So some of the ones you posted I particularly liked. Is Tim a northerner?
Yeah, who knows? Who's Tim? I don't know.
You don't even remember which Tim it refers to?
I don't remember who Tim is or why I wondered if he was a northerner.
Do you think maybe if you were dictating, or you were typing on the hoof, do you think you meant is time a northerner? Was it a sort
maybe.
Of potential routine?
Some sort of philosophical question.
Yeah.
Is the concept of time.
I like eagle stick injury.
Yeah, no idea.
My favourite, Ryvita bread spicy. Because I think that's potentially a recipe. Have you been enjoying some Ryvita and thought, if they made this like a loaf, but with a bit of spice in it?
Maybe I should patent that or, you know, get on that. Ryvita,
get on to like the people
made,
at Ryvita.
Yeah, spicy Ryvita bread. Maybe that's a thing.
I like bread, but every now and again, it's a bit too moist and spicy. If it could be completely dry and harder. And then, what's five got to do with it and we don't need another heron? That's one note.
Well, I think that's got to be related to Tina Turner, but I have no recollection of doing it.
Yeah, because I wondered if we don't need another heron is we don't need another hero.
And then what's love got to do with it is somehow what's five got to do with it.
Yeah, but you can feel there, certainly as a comic, you can feel you were so excited about, oh, I've got this whole tangent of tweaking songs so that they're about something.
Because no one's ever done that before.
Hey, there are only three ideas, right? There are only three ideas. So I went through mine.
Right, what have you got?
Well, it's a different vibe,
okay.
I'll say that.
Oh, God. It's brace less, yourself, listeners.
It's less, oh, here are five words that I need to put down because they might be a routine. Mm. And it's more, it's 10 to 1 and I'm either very depressed or very philosophical. And here's a thing I'm going to write an entire show about.
Oh, John.
So we go back to 2012. And this is the very first note in my phone.
Right.
From October 2012. And this was 10 to 3 in the afternoon. So this is like, this is a happy afternoon thought. This is John skipping along the street, sees a bird land on a twig and writes down, what part of morality is driven by repressed desire?
Wow.
What's going on?
I mean,
what
I wouldn't open with it, John. Do you know what I mean?
No. And then this one, I'll give you this one for now because there are some funnier ones. But this is like, this is November 2012, 8 p.m. I don't think this has happened to me, right? I think this is me. I think it's something I thought I might put in a novel or something.
Right.
Alone reading my book, I felt a sense of déjà vu, even though I knew the words were new to me. Furthermore, I had not only lived the moment of reading them, but outside of this had known the whole of the situation, including what was to follow. The hairs on my neck stood up as I knew something incredible was about to happen, but it didn't.
But it didn't is the most John Richardson thing.
I'll tell you, I think there's mileage in this. So I invite any of our listeners, go through your phone, start at the beginning. And if you want to send us the most random note, it can be just what might be a recipe. It can be a thought that led nowhere. It can be a question about somebody like Tim, who you don't know whether they're a northerner or not. But send those in, and I think we could be going through these for a while. John, absoluteradio.co.uk.
I should have said, actually, in the last link, if Tim is listening, can he let me know if he is a northerner?
Well, there are multiple Tims listening. I think the best we could hope is that we get a sort of tally for, on average, how likely Tim is to be a northerner.
Yeah, that's so, a good... Yeah, yeah. Where are most Tims from? That's what we need to know.
And where do we count Midlands Tims? I think you've got to exclude Midlands Tims. If you're a Tim and you consider yourself from the Midlands, you are...
You're not for
I don't want to say you are nothing, because that sounds harsh. You're a perfectly valid person, and I appreciate you listening, but you are neither another... And obviously everyone in Scotland is a northerner.
What about Tim Peake, the astronaut? Like, if he's on the space station, is he, like, an extreme northerner?
Can't get further north than that, can you?
Yeah.
If you've got to have breathing apparatus, I'd say you're a northerner.
You're pretty northern. Even on mint cake's not going to help you there, is it?
Even on the coldest Burnley afternoon, you don't need full breathing apparatus. I've got some that are more normal. I've got one that made me howl when I read it, which I'll tell you next week. If we get more of these, I think this could be a runner.
Great.
But one that is so revealing of my personality, it's going to take me a week to get over it.
I can't wait.
I've got one where I've just written onion soup with sourdough. 2017. I don't know if that was... I'd just had one. I don't think if I'd just had one, I would have written down just that. I think I wanted one.
I think maybe you just... You know, when suddenly you're walking along, you really fancy something.
Yeah.
And you might have just got to write that down so I don't forget that I really wanted that today.
I think it was something about trying to do a really good vegan onion soup, which you can do, because actually the stock isn't the key part of it. I've also written just the numbers. This is at 24 minutes past 11 in 2020. Mm-hmm. 123, 128, 50.
123, 128, 50.
It's not a PIN number, so I'm safe to read it on air.
123, 12. What can that be?
Well, I know exactly
it's
what it is.
Not lottery numbers. Oh, you know what it is.
It came to me, and it's as close as I'll get to a smugness. Because what that is that's me checking out from 301 in darts in seven darts. So, I've hit a 128, then I've hit a 123, then a 128. That's left me the bullseye, and I've nailed it first time. And
nice.
I've written it in my phone just to remind myself of my achievement.
Nice. I reckon there's some smugness in my phone if I look.
Oh, yeah. Let's
I bet
do,
we can find phone smugness.
Let's do phone note smugness next week.
Yeah.
Nothing makes me smugger. Then, oh, that sounds like the start of a musical song, doesn't it? Nothing makes me smugger than apprehending a mugger if I was a police officer in a film. Sadly.
Have you been asked to do musicals, John?
No, I think I'm going to have to write it. I think it's one of the things I'm just to show people my skills.
We'll do it at the Edinburgh Fringe.
Oh, yeah, there's still time. Do you think it's May now? We could get a full musical up and running.
Let's do it.
I have got an idea for a musical about Jake Thackeray.
Ooh. More
on that. Never. nothing, sadly, makes me smugger than imprisoning people for a slight slip of the tongue. So the literal police is coming. And very excitingly, it's one thing to castigate those you've never met. It's another thing to get people who work at the station that you work at and make yourself even less popular than you already are. It's a new thing altogether to imprison one of your best friends.
Oh.
Catch the literal police coming up on Absolute Radio.
It's very difficult to say the John Richardson Show. Can you say the John Richardson Show?
This is the John Richardson Show.
Literal.
Now, despite our best efforts to clean up the English language, people are continuing to use the word literally incorrectly.
Oh,
another
John.
Busy week on the hotline. I've been contacted directly with details of another offence during promotions for the new series of The Last of Us.
Mm.
Its star, Bella Ramsey, said this.
There's this thing called a crafty table, which is just full of snacks. And that is what literally holds The Last of Us together. If it wasn't for that, we literally wouldn't be here. It would be The Last of Us.
Well, would it? There's two literallys there, right?
Yeah, back-to-back literallys.
It's the first one I have most issue with, I think.
What was the first one? If it literally holds us together. I got more issue with the second one.
Really?
Yeah, I think because they're sort of implying that the show wouldn't exist. And I think by definition of a snack table, I could, if they were saying if there were no food, there would be no Last of Us. But a snack by definition is a treat. It's an in-between meals thing.
I'm just playing devil's advocate here, that I feel that's my role. Maybe what they're saying is that as actors working on The Last of Us, if the snacks weren't available, they would, as a unit, kick off and leave. Because I would.
Oh.
If there weren't snacks in the studio, I'd be out the door, mate. You know? Then it would be the last of us here on that program.
Yeah, you put a good case there. So I'll put it to the group. Will, jail or no jail? I was going to say I'll put it to the group, but what's happened there is Will's just put Bella Ramsey in prison.
Wow, so, sorry, Bella, I tried, mate.
Yeah,
I tried.
Your opinion is an irrelevance, Angela. I think I was going to say prison anyway, because just the back-to-back, I think we've got to be careful of these things. But it's going to be a short stay, I think a week, and then back
just,
out.
Just to sort of teach them a lesson.
Because I like the series. Now, let's move on to the big fish.
Okay. I'm so excited about this, John.
Cast
my
net.
I'm tingling. Oh. I'm so excited.
Now, since we started this show, I was thinking about this week when we first started, and I used to lay traps for Matt's Ford and Dyson.
We used to text
into their show, try and get them to read it out. And I've let them have an easy ride of it, you know. And I've forgotten those days when my function here was to make Matt Ford's life a bit worse. Mm. I realized, actually, it would be nice to put him in prison.
He's just been enjoying his life too much recently. We can't have it, can we?
Cue the mole, our producer Will, who also, I don't know if you've listened to that show, it would be mind-boggling to think that there is a producer there. But Will is in the room. He worked on Rock and Roll Football. Let's hear what happened.
The last two weekends of the Premier League season are on a Sunday. So Rock and Roll Football with Matt Ford and Matt Dyson moves along with it.
Yes.
We're pragmatic.
Yeah.
We literally move with the times.
We do. We're a movable feast.
Before I come to you, shall we hear a defence from the man himself?
Oh, OK. If he thinks he can defend himself, let's hear it.
Yeah.
This is bull manure, because we've used the word. I've used the word correctly, because we are literally moving with the times. The kickoff times have moved, and we are moving the show to move with the times. It's literally moving with the times. I don't understand how we've been punished in this way, but we will appeal. And I say to you and to everyone listening that this court has no legitimacy if it is going to use its powers in this way. So you will be hearing from me. You're hearing from me now. Literally. You'll lock me up for that.
He forgot what he was doing in the middle of that, didn't he? He's multitasking. He was doing something else. And he was like, why am I on the phone?
It's like you can hear the moment the ice cream van went past.
Yeah. the thing is, what he's done there is he's mounted his defence as if we've already sentenced him when we haven't yet.
No.
And it pains me to say this, John. Like, really pains me.
Yeah.
But I think he's right.
Yeah,
you know,
I think
we have
right.
to stand up for justice. We're not here just to put people away willy nilly.
We're not trying to ban the word literally, are we?
No, and I think he's used it in context. The times have moved, and they've moved the show with them. He's right. He's a free man, as far as I'm concerned.
Do you know what it's like? It's like that scene in Seven where they're coming out of the crime scene and the killer is on the stairs, and he's pretending to be the press. Yes. And what he's doing, he's mocking us. So he's using the word literally correctly. We know he's done something wrong.
Yeah.
We know he's going to prison
What's
for something.
What's he hiding with this? This is just the decoy offence.
And then he has the cheek to use one in his own defence. You're literally hearing from me now.
And he will. What you need to go, you need to go through all the past recordings of Rock and Roll Football and find where they've made the actual offence.
Yes, please. Listen to every minute. I want you to go back 5 years.
Yeah.
I want you to listen to whole results from when they were in the Premier League, just to see. And if you don't do it, you don't really care, and I'll take your badge off you. But the sad news is Matt Ford lives to broadcast another day. Broadcast in inverted commas, obviously. He is literally broadcasting, but I'm making a comment on the content there. He will be back with Rock and Roll Football. It's the time of the week when we discuss news that wasn't in the news that perhaps could or should have been in the news.
The news I'd like to tell the listener is that John thought he was going to do a little burp before this link, and it hasn't come out yet. So there's a bit of tension in this link. It might come out.
Hitchcock's bomb under the bed.
Oh, I'm excited.
The windy pops in the willows. It's ready to come. Too much coffee. That's what that is. I love any news that purports to be about generations being different from each other.
Oh, yes.
And so I have chosen a story with the headline, Gen Z Eat Spicy Foods. This is a study. 2,000 adults found those aged 18 to 28, so Gen Z, have the highest endurance for fiery dishes. 43% of Gen Z rate their spice tolerance as high or very high, and that compares to 37% of millennials. I'm a millennial, so that's my generation. Just let that sink in for a moment. I am a millennial. I was 18 in the year 2000, and therefore a millennial.
Millennial. I'm a Gen X.
You're Gen X. 31%, less than a third of your generation can handle spice. I can hear you now in the cafes up and down Britain. I like a bit of white pepper, but anything else? No.
That's because we didn't have spice until I was in my 30s.
We never had paprika in the war.
Exactly. I didn't see an avocado till I was 32.
I tell you what it is, this, because it's nothing to do with tolerance.
No.
Because nobody can tolerate spice because it is a poison that is, you know, making your body react that way. It's just that when you're young, you haven't learnt yet that it's not worth the bother.
Yeah, that's right.
You can eat, you know, you get to boomer's age and you think, well, I could have a spicy curry or I could enjoy tomorrow. In my 30s, broadcasting alongside the free man, Matt Ford, we went to have a fall.
In
Brick Lane.
Oh, yes.
And it was unpleasant at the time. It was too hot at the time. I couldn't really taste anything except fire. The subsequent 48 hours,
I can only imagine.
It was like I'd eaten live scorpions.
The thing is as well, 40 and you should not be eating the same thing ever. You've got very different constitutions, I would say.
I'll tell you what I did learn. I learned that the results hit me slightly later than they hit Matt Ford. Should we say that?
Is that right?
I didn't enjoy the next 48 hours, but I will say this. I made it through the train journey back to Surbiton better than he did.
Oh, dear.
His fall, shall we say, detonated on impact.
Oh, did he have a fall from grace?
Oh, wonderful.
Oh,
yeah. Mine was more of a bouncing bomb. It was a sort of delayed impact, but his was immediate. And if you want to know, I've got the pictures of him on the southwest train to Surbiton right at the moment it hits. Bright red, clutching his guts, the fear in his eyes.
Oh, that's nasty.
Yeah. And of course, that study was not in the name of science. It was to launch a new spicy chili brioche by a bakery band.
Of course. Hang on a minute. Spicy Rivita bread.
Oh, my God.
I need to call my lawyer.
The shocking revelation that young people are more likely to order a spicy dish than older people. The nation's still reeling from it. So
yeah, who'd have thought? What
Angela's about to say may be missed, but what have you seen this week?
Well, the news I've found, it comes from Switzerland, a town called Kernis in Switzerland, and local police have said that a wild duck has been caught clocking in at 52 kilometres per hour in a 30 kilometres per hour zone with their speed camera.
It got flashed.
It got flashed.
Oh,
a duck,
I like
right?
that.
But not only that, John, it is thought that this duck is a repeat offender. that a duck was flashed by the same camera and they on the same learn. Date, but in 2018.
They don't learn, these ducks.
They don't. I mean, you might want to cast some doubt as to whether it was the same duck. Because speed cameras aren't the clearest images, are they? And I don't want to say all ducks look the same.
But perhaps it was a tagged duck? Or it's got a special kind of behind?
There's been speculation about whether the notorious racer duck was a belated April Fool's joke, but the police have said, nope, it's not. They can't manipulate images on the radar system, so therefore it is a legitimate speeding duck.
You know you live in a nice area when that's the biggest problem you've got. What's the worst thing you got around here? Quick ducks, really. Probably about the worst thing.
Yeah, that's it. What's the worst motoring problem? So you've got to be aware of those speeding ducks.
I'd take a quick duck ahead of a slow goose.
Oh, any day. Goose
to live
can
in
be
Hebden
geese
Bridge.
I need to say gooses. Then did you notice?
Gooses, geese.
Gooses, geese.
Mooses and meeses.
They can be...
Stick that in the musical.
Hang on, write that down. Well, they're vicious. They can be vicious geese.
Oh.
I walked past a building site once in Norfolk and they had security geese. I'm not making that up. There was like a flock of geese that were protecting this building site.
Well, paid for
in.
By the company?
I guess so, yeah. But they were like security geese. Because they like properly were at the gate, like, come on in, just try.
Yeah. If you've ever been hissed at, I spend my life pretending that I'm not scared of things in front of my daughter because I don't want her to grow up as cowardly as I am. The number of times we've gone for, quote, a nice walk along the canal. Mm. And I've had to say, oh, do you know what? I've forgotten the, let's take the road path because actually that goose there, that's the one. That's the one that got me the other week. When they spread their wings and they hiss at you. We've got a sound, haven't we, Will, of a person being slapped by a goose.
Oh, you can feel that, can't you?
Oh, you can feel it. I really did slap my own head there, didn't I?
You did, really hard.
So that's it for another week of the John Richardson Show. Thank you very much, Angela.
Oh, John, you said your name a bit funny. You've got this point, and then
I don't know if it feels like an arrogance to sort of really stress your own. I think I sort of try and apologetically like brush it under the John Richardson.
It is hard saying your own name. It always sounds wrong saying your own name. It's
you
fine,
can't
John.
Win because when the jingle's coming, I don't like it either. Someone's had to go in a booth and say, someone's had to come in on the tube just to say, and they don't anymore. They've probably got a studio in their house, haven't they?
Yeah, they're sat in their shed.
It's nice to think of somebody in their shed repeatedly shouting my name. Maybe their neighbours think I've got a better life than we know I really have. It is the end of the John Richardson Show on Absolute Radio with Angela Barnes. Thank you to Will and Charlie for a wonderful week's broadcasting.
Oh,
better?
That was lovely, John. Yeah. Well done.
I can do it when I try.
Yeah, but you
it's
know.
Just, I want brought up right.
You don't need words like that.
I want to do it. Sounds what I heard when I was little. When I was little lad. Lickle and Bockle. That's
Bockle.
The one that's the first. I'm proud of my accent and where I'm from, but Bockle I dropped as soon as
Is
I
that
could.
A thing?
Oh, yeah. What's in that Bockle over there?
Ooh.
And can you do as a bonnet or can I lend your pen? Those are the ones that used to, even as a kid.
Oh, you don't lend.
No.
I'll lend you a pen, you'll borrow it. Well, I've got this horrible estuary whinge, so everything I say sounds horrible. An
I didn't
H
say
is a luxury in my accent.
We usually delete those texts so that you don't read them, but I apologise. Some seem to have got through this week. The podcast of the show is available for those of you who couldn't be here for the full thing. We name that podcast Something Witty based on what we've done.
Yeah,
what
I've got one, John. Literal Slaphead.
Oh,
sorry, John.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue with.
You did slap your head, literally.
Yeah, I've just gone for spicy Rivita Eater.
Oh, nice. That's nice too.
It's got to be literal Slaphead, doesn't it? That's like a clickbait. That's going to get people listening, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. There you go. It's all marketing, John.
They're all going to, you can't say that anymore. We've got him. And then they're going to hear me literally slap my head.
Yeah.
Got it. Like Matt Ford, I continue for another week. Have a wonderful week, whatever you're doing. We'll be back next week with more. Thank you for all your input. And if you would like to join us in the week, if you're walking along the street and you hear someone say something that is not quite right, or you think of something horrible about someone you love, the email is john@absoluteradio.co.uk. That's available to you all the time. Take care. Have a wonderful week. Enjoy the Lake District, Angela. I'm very jealous.
Oh, I'm not going yet, John. So it's
okay,
not
I'm not
June.
Jealous then. Yeah. Oh, don't enjoy anything then.
I won't.
June.
I'll enjoy wherever I am this week.
Don't save it for the Lake District. You'll appreciate it more if you have a horrible time until then.
I will.
Angela, have an awful week. I hope the food you eat is disgusting. I hope every journey is delayed. Will, you've suffered enough. All the best. See you next week. And it's Sarah Champion up next on Absolute Radio.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
There we go. That was the show.
Literal slaphead. Yeah.
Literal slaphead. To hear it back. And congratulations to Will for clipping that up quite so quickly.
Yeah, you got it, Will. Give us another little... Oh, yeah. I felt that.
Do you know what it sounds like? It sounds like when you're in a kebab house and a blue bottle goes into one of those blue lights. You sort of have to look at them behind the counter and go, oh, that was a big one. Stick that in a pitter. Well, join us next week when I can't make any promises. I try not to slap my own head.
Yeah, don't keep slapping it, John, because that's probably what's caused the problem in the first place.
Do you think that's... Well, someone did say it was because I wear a baseball cap a lot. And I went through a period of... I would even wear it around the house. I just had a baseball cap on all the time. And it's sort of like denying sunlight to the roots. But I think if that was the case, I'd be completely bald.
Yeah, it wouldn't just be that little...
Maybe it's where the little stud underneath the mane bit presses in. Maybe
I
that's
think
what's done the damage.
It's just natural male it pattern. Is. You know, yeah. just go with it, John. It's a sign of virility. Apparently.
Yeah, I think that is a rumour started by the bald. In the same way that bakery companies launching spicy brioche are apt to launch studies about baldness, spicy food. I've got baldness on the brain. We'll be back next week with more. If you have time, I would love you to go through the notes on your phone and send us either the most random or the most depressing, given the way my mind seems to wander when I'm alone on the tube.
I'm going to take your phone off you, John. I think it's for the best.
Do you want a little sneaky one for the podcast only?
Yeah, go on.
What is hate now? Years ago, we hated the devil. Now we hate iPhones. Oh, John at absoluteradio.co.uk if you can match anything as ridiculous as that. And we'll see you next week. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye.